Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, our hearts do rejoice tonight as we open your scriptures on this holiest of nights. We come seeking not just words on a page, but your word made flesh for us. And so, Holy Spirit, open our ears, open our minds, open our hearts, that we might hear your word for us tonight. We pray all this in the name of your Son, the one whose birth we celebrate, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. One of my favorite Christmas carol lines is the one we sang a few minutes ago. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. In light of events of this past year, from mass shootings in cities such as Las Vegas to massive destruction by hurricanes Harvey, Irma, and Maria, from nuclear weapons testing to sexual misconduct allegations, to crises of various degrees in each of our lives, whatever the hopes and fears of this year or even this day might bring for you, I imagine one of our greatest hopes right now is for peace. And one of our greatest fears is the lack thereof. The prophet Isaiah assures us that all of our hopes will be realized when the Lord establishes his peaceful kingdom. To give us a picture of what that peaceful kingdom looks like, Isaiah lists pairs of opposite species of animals who suddenly find a way to coexist. If the Spirit of the Lord has the power to make peace between natural enemies, how much more might God also bring peace between unnatural enemies? Those never meant to be at odds. Nations that turn against one another, racial divisions that cause us to forget we are one human race. Religious and political factions of our day, and so forth. Or to bring it closer to home, not just animals living in different camps, but those living under the same roof. To borrow Isaiah's analogy, forget dogs and cats living together peaceably. I'd just be happy to see my two cats live together in peace for one day. Or perhaps for you, the hope this year is peace between two spouses who seem more like roommates than each other's beloved. Peace between two siblings who haven't spoken in years. Peace between an estranged parent and child, between you and a classmate, you and a coworker, you and a neighbor. Whether it's longing for peace between enemies made by natural instinct or sheer human brokenness, Isaiah says all of this is possible and more because of a little child. Listen for God's word from Isaiah chapter 11. A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The wolf shall live with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together. And a little child shall lead them. In the New Testament, we turn to Luke's account of the birth of Jesus. Before we do so, may I confess something to you? We as pastors sometimes try to get so creative with the Christmas story year after year that we risk missing the story. As a mentor said to me a few years ago, just tell the Christmas story. That's what people want to hear. As a choir member said once, can we ever get enough of the story? I pray we can't. And I pray that whether we are hearing the story for the first time or for the 100th time, that that same Spirit of the Lord of which Isaiah spoke would help us to hear something new tonight. So let us hear the Christmas story, and let us listen for God's word. From Luke chapter 2. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver the child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. When I was growing up, my cousins and I were always allowed to open one gift on Christmas Eve. If you have the same tradition in your family, you know you'd spend most of the day thinking and talking about which one gift you were going to open. For many years, I would always open the biggest package, because if the box was big, surely the gift inside was as well. After going with this theory for a few years, I realized something. You parents are sneaky. You put rocks or other weights in a package to make it seem heavier than it really was. Or you'd wrap the tiniest, teeniest gift in the most ginormous package ever to throw off us as kids. And it worked for a while. But I caught on to your game. And I changed my game. Instead of going after the biggest package, I began searching under the tree for the smallest package I could find. And wouldn't you know it? It was often my favorite gift every year. Maybe you've experienced the same. A family heirloom. An engagement ring. Your grandfather's pocket watch, or a piece of your mother's jewelry. Sometimes the gift inside is much bigger than its wrappings. That's the miracle of Christmas, isn't it? The biggest gifts come in the smallest packages. Those names we heard earlier: Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Those aren't names you would find in a baby name book. Those are big names for a tiny baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. A baby's got a lot of growing up to do to grow into a name like that. And so he did. Not long after they took their first step, these tiny little feet walked into the homes of the poorest of the poor, the most outcast of the outcast, way outside the bounds of social norms. Places you and I wouldn't dare to go. Yet two little feet did, leaving big footprints and saying, "Come, follow me." whose short baby arms would somehow grow long enough to encircle the whole world, and at the same time be the perfect size to cover your shoulders or mine. His balled up baby fists would turn into the hands of a great physician who could heal with a single touch. And yet when his hands were wounded by nails on a cross, he willingly laid aside that power so that he might heal us once and for all. Before these baby lips could barely speak mama or dada, they would soon go on to speak with an authority and a gentleness never heard before. There are other leaders in that day led by coercion, but this king led instead by invitation, saying, "Come and see. See what his little eyes see. When he looks upon the world, he doesn't see a hopeless situation. He sees a harvest ripe with opportunity. Even when he looks upon you and me and sees those dark areas of our lives, we spend so much time and energy trying to hide from others, even from ourselves. There's no judgment in his eyes, only compassion. Because of his little heart, a heart since its first heartbeat loved us before our hearts ever began to beat. Jesus loves us exactly where we are, and he loves us not to leave us where we are. He wants to turn our lives upside down and right side up that we might experience life better than anything we could ever imagine. That's the invitation of this baby this Christmas Eve. The best gifts really do come in the smallest packages. But sometimes packages are so small they can get lost in the shuffle. Like the smallest package that might get lost under the tree, sometimes the package of Christmas, the gift of Christmas, gets lost in the midst. If we continue reading in Luke chapter 2, and I encourage you to do so tomorrow as part of your Christmas celebration, we read how the shepherds immediately got up to go and see this great sign the angel described. When they got there, they made known everything they had been told by the angel about this baby. And Luke says, all who heard were amazed at what the shepherds told them. Who is the all? When we reenact the nativity scene in Christmas pageants, Act 1, Scene 1 typically stars Mary, Joseph, and Jesus. In order of appearance, next come the shepherds. But according to Luke, there were others present as well. Some probably couldn't help but be there. We often picture a stable as a small wooden structure surrounded by land, isolated from the rest of the town. But in the first century, it was more likely a stone house, and it wasn't isolated. The living quarters of the inn were directly above the stable. The guests of the inn would have been accustomed to hearing a cow moo or a horse neigh, but the sound of a baby crying might have piqued their interest enough to get out of bed and go see what was going on. If surrounding neighbors didn't hear the baby cry, surely they would have heard the ruckus of a couple shepherds and a few dozen sheep parading through the streets. And they, too, might have ventured out to see what the commotion was all about. And all who heard it were amazed. But does all really mean all? There would have been thousands of people in Bethlehem that day for the census. I can imagine that some of them didn't go to the manger. They had things to do. They were just in town to get registered, and then they needed to head back home and be about their business. Even if they did hear the baby cry late that night, they may have chosen just to roll over and go back to sleep. For the sound of a baby cry is nothing new. We've all heard that sound before. The reason I can imagine that was what some people did is because I know I've done it before. We're here tonight as one stop in our Christmas celebration before we continue on home to the next stop. And just like we've heard a baby cry before, many of us have heard this story told before. It's part of our spiritual history, an event that happened years ago, an old family story we tell and even look forward to hearing year after year. But it's not a new story to many of us. And yet the great mystery of Jesus' birth tells us it's not just something that happened 2,000 years ago. It's happening right now, in this moment. Centuries before Jesus was born, Isaiah spoke of it as if it was happening that very day. A child has been born for us, a son given to us. The same is true for us today. To us is born this day, this very day, a Savior who is Messiah, the Lord. A child is born for you, and for you, for you, for you, and for me, and all of us. God's Son is given to us this night. But it's only a gift if it's received as such. If someone gives you a gift tomorrow and you just look at it, shake it, say, oh, what pretty paper, and then toss it back under the tree. It's not really a gift, is it? A gift is meant to be opened and received. That's why the giver gave it to you. And nothing gives the giver more joy than seeing the recipient open the gift. A son is given to us today, and nothing would bring more joy to the giver than to see us receive the gift tonight for all it's worth. So rather than just hearing the familiar tale of a baby's birth, pausing for a moment before moving on to a family dinner or Christmas party, and then rolling over to go to sleep like some did that night in Bethlehem, this night, take a moment to gaze at the manger. As we sing away in a manger, consider the God who is willing to come down from the throne of heaven and be born in a feeding trough of all places. What gift might the Christ child want to offer you this night? And what might you offer him in return? Maybe it's hearing how before this baby spoke his first word, he knew your name and called your name. Do you hear it? Maybe it's allowing his light to penetrate the darkness you feel, or finding the courage to bring those dark areas of your life into Christ's light so that you might receive wholeness once and for all. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He is a light for us when all other lights go out. Do you see it? Or maybe it's the gift of peace among the chaos of your life, or choosing to take the first step toward peace in some difficult relationship. Maybe it's understanding for the first time God's love made flesh for you, and how you are called to be God's love made flesh for others. What do you see when you look at the manger? What might Jesus have you see? The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people." All the people includes you. May you and I see and hear the good news of the manger tonight. And may God give us the grace to know that the good news truly is good. And may all who see and hear be amazed. Let us pray. Jesus, this night we thank you for the mystery of your love for us. We thank you that you chose to come down from heaven to take on flesh like us and live among us. Lord, help us to see you and to respond to your love tonight. We ask all this in Christ's name. Amen.